Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says this. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then we're going to look at some other verses, but look down in verse 17. Scroll down your phone, flip over a page if you have to. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. May God bless the reading of his word. Oh, thank you. Let me ask you to do something as we get started this morning. Think in your mind of your personal Mount Rushmore of people who have made the most spiritual impact in your life. Who's impacted your life spiritually? Your knowledge of the Bible, your love for the church, just who has impacted your life? Who goes on your Mount Rushmore of spiritual influences in your life? For many of you, it's probably going to be a family member, grandparent, parent, might be a Sunday school teacher from when you were a kid, might be a pastor, somebody, a coworker, a friend who's invested in your life. For most of us in here, when you think about your spiritual influences, really positive thoughts come to mind. Positive emotions come to mind. But don't miss this, that there are people in this room, when they think about spiritual influences in their life, it's not all happy emotions. That there are some hard thoughts behind that. Because there are people who have influenced your life spiritually, but it's been through hypocrisy, it's been through narcissism, it's been through manipulation, it's been through spiritual abuse, that there are people in your life who have had spiritual influence, who have had spiritual leadership, but it does not bring the happiest of memories to you. And this morning, we come to a place in the Bible where we begin to have this conversation about spiritual leadership, spiritual influence, and the importance of that, but also what does it look like to have healthy spiritual leadership, healthy spiritual influence? And if you think to yourself for a moment, man, that's going to be awkward for you to preach about spiritual leadership and spiritual influence when you're in a place of spiritual leadership, I would just tell you, yes, it is. Yes, it is a little bit awkward to talk about this topic. But here's what we're going to find out quickly. This idea of spiritual leadership and spiritual influence, it impacts every one of us in here. Because you have influence. You have spiritual leadership. And we are all in this together. So this is not just Owen preaching a sermon for Owen. This is all of us together. And we have to begin by remembering that Jesus is in charge of the church. There is no pastor who's in charge of the church. There's no group of donors or deacons or committee members who's in charge of the church. Jesus is in charge of the church. And so when we think about spiritual leadership and spiritual influence, all of us operate under the lordship of Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. We have to understand what does it mean to steward that, to live that out in a local church. And this matters. This matters because when spiritual leadership goes badly in a church, it drives people away from faith. They want nothing to do with it. When we go to our new member info meeting next week, one of the things we talk about in that new member info meeting is I'll ask the question, what gets in the way? What hinders a person's desire to get connected at a church? And there's a lot of different comments that are made at that point, but almost always, one of the things that keeps a person from wanting to get involved in a church is they had a bad church experience in the past. And oftentimes, it was because someone misused or abused their place of spiritual leadership. But if we don't have spiritual leadership, we miss out on the growth and the work that the Lord wants to do in our lives. And so this topic matters. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at God's word and say, Lord, show us through your word what spiritual leadership looks like, and show us what it looks like to be a church that values that and grows under that. Look back at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That word leaders there, it's interesting that leadership is brought up at this point in the book of Hebrews, because here's the key. A couple of verses ago, the author talked about sexuality and marriage. Then he talked about money, and now he's talking about spiritual leadership. Don't miss this. This is not accidental. What are the things that take out a church and take out a leader? Sex, money, and power. Think about the number of people who are in a place of influence who have lost that influence, and think about the number of churches who have been hurt because of sins related to sexuality, money, and power. And right here, the author of Hebrews, the preacher, is taking us through each of those categories, and this morning, we get leadership. If you like to take notes, here's what I would suggest. At the top, we're going to have to do a little bit of definition work about leaders. So we're going to talk about leadership just a moment. So there's kind of like a top of your notes where we're going to do define the terms. We're going to talk about leadership. And then you're going to draw two columns. If your paper allows for it, if you like to draw two columns, left column would be leader, right column would be church. And we're just going to go back and forth about what are the signs of healthy spiritual leadership. And what are the signs of a church that understands how to honor and value and hold responsible leaders? So if your columns don't work out, just go 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. We're just going to work our way through that. All right, let's talk about leaders first. We need to define this term that's in Hebrews 13:7. What does it mean by leadership? A leader in these verses, and this is a good definition for leadership anyway, is just a person who has responsibility and influence. There's a lot of different words you can connect with leadership, but when you look at the New Testament and you think about the way God has created us, it's a person that has responsibility and influence. I need to share with you my favorite definition of leadership, okay? For those of you who are in leadership at your company or you find yourself in a position of leadership, my favorite definition of leadership is disappointing people at a rate at which they can handle. I mean, there's no better definition of leadership than that. Leadership is disappointing people at a rate at which they can handle. Because when you're in a position of leadership, you're going to make people mad. Any number of days, there's a certain number of people mad at me. But you want to disappoint people at a rate at which they can stomach and still want you to be around. So that's one definition of leadership. I love it. Probably a better one is responsibility and influence. Now, here's the key. When you're looking at your copy of the Bible, and you see the word leader in verse 7. That is an extremely general term for leadership in the Bible, okay? That's a very, very general term that you're going to find in the original language. When you look throughout the New Testament, there are three main terms for spiritual leadership in the church. You find elder, pastor, and overseer. That word overseer, sometimes the translation bishop is used. We don't think about bishop very much in our churches, so we usually use overseer. Elder, pastor, overseer. Not everyone is going to agree with me on this. I totally get this. But the way we understand those terms here at Emmaus is those three terms are three different ways of talking about the same office, the same responsibility. So an elder, a pastor, an overseer, that's three angles of talking about one role of spiritual leadership in the church. Now, here's the key. When you think about spiritual leadership, I want you to think about it as a series of concentric circles or maybe a series of building blocks. At the very foundation of spiritual leadership, Jesus is right there. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of spiritual leadership. And then the Lord has placed in the church people who have a responsibility as elder, pastor, overseer. You have that layer of leadership. But then let's be clear. This verse in Hebrews 13, it includes small group leaders. It includes ministry leaders, parents. If you don't think you have spiritual influence and responsibility, absolutely you do. Students, you have spiritual responsibility and influence. And I can promise you, because I've had elementary age kids who look up to you and see you, we all have responsibility and influence. When we think about this in the life of a church, and you think about the corporate idea of leadership, what do you want to do in your business? Not everybody, but a lot of people in their corporation, what do you want to do? You want to climb the ladder. So you want to move higher because of greater responsibility, greater importance in the corporation. I love this imagery for Christian leadership is we don't climb the ladder, we descend the ladder. We go down the ladder. As your responsibility increases, you are taking a step down the ladder, not a step up the ladder. Because the further you go down the ladder, the more the responsibility to serve, the more responsibility you have in influence. So this morning, when we talk about spiritual leadership, we are talking about pastors, but we are talking about the responsibility that all of us have in the church. And the key is, how do we handle that leadership in a healthy way so that we're not making a mockery of the gospel? We're not driving people away from church. So here we go. We're going to go 1-1. We're going to go left side would be leader, right side would be church. Draw the columns. We want to understand this. Point number one comes out of verse 7 there. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So what does healthy spiritual leadership look like? Leaders speak the word, and the church will honor and value those leaders. So leaders are those who speak the word of God. When you look at the New Testament, and specifically the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews talks about how long ago God spoke to his people through the prophets, and then he spoke to them in Jesus, and then the message of Jesus was passed on by the apostles and the church leaders, and this passage kept going generation after generation. What's the responsibility of spiritual leaders? Is to speak to you the word of God. Not to come up with whatever they want to say, not to make up something new every generation. What you are looking for in spiritual leadership is someone who will speak the word of God to you. The truth about the Bible, the hope that's found in the gospel, and what a church sees in that is we want to honor and value those who will speak the word of God to us. This is what we desire. Verse 7 in your Bible where it says, remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. It's almost certainly talking about previous church leaders who have passed away or have passed on from the church. And they're saying, don't forget those who established the word of God for you. So let me explain it to you this way. The little church that I grew up in Southwest Oklahoma, little, small, rural Southern Baptist church. Here's what you have to think about on this church. Some of you went to these churches. You're familiar with these churches. On the left side up here was the piano, well located, okay? My mom was playing the piano. On the right side over here was something called the organ. Students, the organ was over here on this side of the church, okay? Here's my mom up here playing the piano. She could play the piano and get onto us as her sons at the same time. It's an amazing ability. Play the hymn, get onto us with her eyes, just keep going, never broke a stride. She would do that. Behind my mom over here was a wood sign on the wall. Why was that wood sign there? How many people attended last year? How many people attended last week? How much money was given last week? Organ, over here. There's a wood sign over here. What's over there? Well, it was how much money was given last year, and it was how many contacts were made during the week. Oh, this was a beauty, because as teenagers, we would write like 75 contacts and 80 contacts, like the number of people that you invited to church, because you wanted to see how big of a number they could put on that sign. Was it lying? Yes. Are you supposed to lie in church? No. Was it funny? Yes, it was also funny. We did it. But this idea that you had these signs of it. Here's the other thing we had in our little church. If you walked past the piano and you went into the back hallway, you went down that hallway and there were pictures of all the previous pastors of the church. And I remember as a kid just being fascinated by this series of pictures of all the people who had come through that church to preach the word of God. A church will remember and honor and value those who speak the word of God to them. Be a church that doesn't want the pastor to show up and be a political commentator, a cultural commentator. Be a church that doesn't want the pastor to show up and just say whatever the people want them to say. Be a church that doesn't want the pastor to show up and talk about themselves all the time. What do you want to hear? We need the word of God. That's the hope we have. That's the gospel that's put in front of us. That's the church. Now, the pastor needs to relate those things to politics and relate those things to culture and to our lives. But what we hunger for is we hunger for the Word of God, and we need to value that as a church. And it helps us walk this tightrope between, I don't care. I don't care who the pastor is. I don't care if they speak the Word of God. Everybody's going to do their own thing. Well, that's unhealthy. The other side of that, though, is a mentality that begins to worship or platform the person in spiritual leadership. Well, that's not healthy either, because then the pastor, the person in that position of spiritual leadership, can equally begin to be seen almost as a Jesus figure. Well, we're not going down that road either. That's not good either, because they're called to speak the Word of God to the people so the people will receive that truth and God will use that to transform their life. Number two, look at the second half of verse 7. The second half of verse 7 says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So as you're taking notes, we move to number two. Leaders have a life worth following, and the church is going to consider and imitate the leaders. As Paul is talking about spiritual leadership, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me, be an imitator of me, as I am of Christ. So the only reason you should look at a person's life is because they're looking to Jesus. And as we consider a person's life, we consider not just what they say, we consider what they do. Because think about the number of people who have been turned off to Christianity because there was a spiritual leader who said one thing and they did another. And nothing will drive someone away from the faith like somebody who says one thing and does another. Parents, when you think about your spiritual leadership, this is probably the most important thing. Because if you show up to church and you play the church game and you talk about faith, and then behind closed doors you do something else, that's going to have a profound impact on how your kids think about faith, how they think about what it means to know and follow Jesus. We want to be people who proclaim and display Jesus. That with our lives, someone can look at us and say, yeah, that matches what they say. That they're seeking to live out the things of God. And a church would look at the person in leadership, whether it's the pastor or their Sunday school leader or the deacons in the church or whoever it might be, they would look at that person's life and say, yeah, I want to follow that person. Not because they're Jesus, but because they're helping me know what it looks like to live a life that looks like Jesus. One good question to ask when you listen to Bible teachers is, who am I becoming as a result of listening to that person? What you'll find sometimes is people get obsessed with certain Bible teachers, and they'll really get caught up in what that person's teaching, and as a result of the teaching, they become angrier, they become more prideful, they become more divisive. If your life looks less and less like Jesus because you're obsessed with listening to somebody, consider very careful who you're listening to at that point. Because when we hear someone speaking the Word of God to us, at the same time, we want to look at their lives and say, as a result of listening to that person, man, I want my life to look more like Jesus. I want to follow after him and live for the things that he wants me to live for. Number three, look at verse 8. We're just going to walk right through these passages. We're trying to say, sign of a healthy leader, sign of a healthy church. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Spiritual leaders will proclaim and display Jesus. They will point you to Jesus, who is faithful. And churches will trust in the faithfulness of Jesus, not their leaders. Their ultimate hope is found in Jesus. And so if you are in a place of spiritual leadership, you are saying, I want you to know that Jesus is faithful. You heard that this morning over and over and over again. When you're in a place of spiritual leadership, you're pointing to people and saying, I see what you're going through. I've been through something like that before. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust him. He is good. He will be there for you. Keep trusting him. Keep following him. And as a church, you say, our hope is in Jesus, not in a personality, not in a program, not in somebody who has a certain amount of charisma. We want somebody who's going to point us to Jesus because he will sustain us. He is the one that we look to. He is the one who will build up and advance his church. So as a church, we can say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number four, look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them." Now, we're going to talk about this verse more next week, but foods here has to do with participating in certain religious rituals, because you think that participating in that ritual will make you stronger spiritually, will somehow increase your level of spiritual power. Instead, here's what we want. Number four, we want leaders who will strengthen the people with God's grace, and we want churches that refuse to be led astray by all these strange new teachings that come up. So as a leader, if you're in a place of spiritual leadership, what do you want to do? You want to give people the grace of Jesus. You don't want to set before them more rules, more formulas, more rituals that they need to follow. Now, when you experience God's grace, will it transform your life? Yeah, it will. But the role of leadership is not behavior modification. It's the good news of Jesus. It's the grace of God that he has given in your life, and you receive that, and man, it changes your life forever. It changes you from the inside out. The temptation of spiritual leaders is to make their people look better. And you can use manipulation to try to make a person's life look better, to try to get them to follow certain rules, to try to make us all look religious. And we've done nothing to address the heart at that point. We've done nothing to address the mind. What we want is we want to feed people with the grace of God, so when they receive God's grace, then it transforms their heart, then it transforms their mind, then it transforms how they live. And man, this one scares me. This one scares me because of my personality. I don't want to be in a place of spiritual leadership where you go home and the main thought you have is, man, I need to be a better person. I've got to grow in this area, because I want you to go home and think, man, Jesus is good. His grace is my only hope. When I receive the truth of Scripture, when I receive the Holy Spirit's work in my life, he is changing me in ways that no human manipulation could ever get close to, because I see that I don't deserve this grace, and God's grace has been poured into my life, and my life is never going to be the same as a result of it. And as a church, in order for that to work, you can't want to chase every new fad, every new teaching that comes along, because Scripture says here, don't be led astray. Don't chase all these new ideas coming. You're saying, give us the same thing every week, preacher. Give us Jesus. Give us the gospel. Give us the grace of God. If you will give us that, then our hearts will be strengthened. Then our lives will be transformed as a result of that. Number five, we're going to skip down to verse 17. Skip down to verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." This is a terrifying verse in the Bible. It's terrifying for churches because it's been misused so badly to tell churches, hey, you need to obey me. That's pretty culty. Like, that gets you going down some roads you don't want to go down. Like, that's a scary verse. It's terrifying for pastors and spiritual leaders, because this verse says that I will stand before God one day and I will give an account for how I kept watch over your souls. That's weight. Like, that is what keeps you up at night, is to think through that reality. What's the teaching here? Number five on your notes, we need leaders who will keep watch over the souls of the people, and we need churches who will obey your leaders in a way that brings joy and benefit. That last part's kind of a mouthful, but we'll talk through the reality. So what do you want from your leaders? What do you want from spiritual leaders in your life? Parents, pastors, Sunday school leaders, what do you want from them? You want them to keep watch over your soul. You desire accountability. You want to be in a place where someone cares about what's going on in your life spiritually, and they care enough to check in on you and to challenge you, and to say, what is God doing in your life? Is your heart being drawn to Jesus or away from Jesus? We need that accountability. We need those people who are keeping watch over us. Now, hear me clearly. This doesn't mean that you can never disagree with the leader. Many of you are very good at disagreeing with the leader. You're fantastic at this, you know, so just, like, keep going. Like, that's totally fine. Like, I'm not bothered. If you find yourself in a religious group and you are not allowed to disagree or speak about the leader, run away from that place, okay? That is not where you want to be. That you need to be in a place where you can ask questions. If I'm living in a way that dishonors the Lord, that's divisive to the church, that makes a mockery of the gospel, you need to speak to me about that. Like, we are in this together. At the same time, we need spiritual leadership. We need spiritual oversight. You need people who are keeping watch over your soul. The way we do that here at Emmaus, one of the ways we do it, is every few weeks, the pastors of the church get together with the membership list, and we work our way through that membership list trying to see, is there anybody we know something that's going on in their life? How can we pray for these people? Is there anybody we need to check in on? When I first came to Emmaus, there was, remember these wooden signs up here in the old school church? There was another number on that wooden sign that always amazed me as a kid. And the number on that wooden sign was total members at the church, okay? So I grew up in a little church that if we got into the triple digits, low 100s, it was like, yes, like this is good. On our cool wooden sign behind my mom's head on the piano, it said members, 450. Now, as a kid, you're thinking, what happened to those other 350 people? Like, where did they go? Like, what's going on here? Well, back up 8 years. When I first came to Emmaus, we had around 2,100 people on our membership list. Good Sunday, like if we get to 600, we're like, yeah, we're usually in the 500s. We make it to 600, that's good. Well, there's 1,400 missing people, not to mention there's guests every Sunday, so there's like 1,600 missing people. What we've tried to do over the years is we want that membership list to match who's really a part of our church family. Why? Because we're mean and we want to kick people off our membership list? No, because we take seriously keeping watch over someone's soul. And we're not in a position to work through 2,100 names. Not right now, but we can't work through 700 names. And we can say, we want to know those people and pray for those people and care for those people. And here's the key. Obey your leaders in a way that brings joy and benefit. When we get to your name on the list, let it bring a smile to our face and not groaning. Like, that's your goal. Like, when they get to my name on the membership list, like, what is their response in that moment? Like, oh, man, what a joy to have a person. Or, we don't want to do that. Not granted, that's kind of on us. That's not a good sign. But live your life in such a way that you're like, man, I want to honor and value what it means to be in a church where people care for me, keep me accountable, and I want to be a member who's involved and serving and growing because I need spiritual leaders who are keeping watch on my soul, speaking the word of God. Show me what it looks like to follow Jesus. All right, number 6. Let's wrap up with this. Verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19, it says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. So what is the leader desiring in these verses? To live in an honorable way, like be above reproach, be above bar, like live in a way that honors the Lord, and don't miss the end of verse 19, want to be restored to the people. Spiritual leaders want to be with their people. It's not going to be hard in 2024 to find a podcast or a YouTube sermon or another church where there is somebody who preaches a better sermon. Not going to, you can find it in 30 seconds. But do your spiritual leaders know you? Do they love you? Do they want to be with you? That's what we want to be as the church. And what makes that happen? This is spiritual work. What do the leaders need? They need prayer. They need support. They need encouragement that we are in this together because when healthy spiritual leadership is in place, Jesus is celebrated, the church is built up and stronger, and the gospel advances and goes forward. Good things happen when we are able to come together and say, we are going to focus on Jesus. Because here's the deal. Jesus is the only one who can fulfill all the points of the sermon. What was the first role of a spiritual leader? To speak the word. And guess what? He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He is the word. What's the second point? That we want to live a life worth following. Well, guess what? The word took on flesh and lived among us and showed us what it looks like to know and follow God. Point number three, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever? Only Jesus. We need to be strengthened by grace, not all these other foods. Who's able to do that? The one who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." We come to Jesus and we find grace, not more rules to add on top of ourselves. We need someone who's going to keep watch over our souls. Who's able to do that? The one who reigns over all things right now. And what is Jesus doing right now? He is keeping watch over and praying for you. And we want leaders who want to be restored, want to be with the people. What's Jesus doing? He is waiting because one day he will return to be with his people. So what do we want to do as a church? We want to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, we want to consider others more important than ourselves. So let each of you not act according to your own interests, but also according to the interests of others. And remember this Philippians 2 passage. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held onto, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning, the focus is not on any spiritual leader. The focus is on Jesus, who is good and faithful, that he has died for you to take on your sins, and he rose from the dead to destroy the power of death. And you may be here this morning and you're hurting because of a relationship, you're hurting because of a job, you're hurting because of a spiritual leader who mistreated you and manipulated you in the past, and you're trying to make sense of what is my life going to look like going forward. And we are here for one purpose, and that is to point you to Jesus, because he alone is faithful and he will not fail you. He is able to strengthen you, he is able to sustain you, and he is able to lead you into the future, into all of eternity, because he is good and he is faithful. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we come before you not focused on any human spiritual leader, focused only on Jesus. And God, I pray if there's anybody here this morning who has never trusted in Jesus for salvation, if there's anybody here this morning who they just feel so turned off to Christianity and faith because they've seen all the news reports about leaders who have acted in disgusting ways, or maybe long ago their heart was turned against the church because of something that a leader did, God, I pray this morning that their eyes would be drawn back to Jesus. And God, there may be people this morning who they really struggle to come into a church building because of bad church experiences in the past. God, would you remind them of how important it is to be connected to the church? Would you remind them of the gift of church membership? We're not perfect. We have so many challenges, but those challenges draw us back to Jesus. And God, would you remind us this morning that every one of us is in a place of spiritual responsibility and influence. God, these teenagers are leaders. Our senior adults have such incredible influence in our kids' lives. Parents in the room, God, I pray for parents in the room that they have the responsibility to speak to their kids about the Word of God and to show their kids what it looks like to follow Jesus. God, would you let that happen? We believe Jesus is faithful, and we want to celebrate that right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.